Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 27, Friday, October 24th, 2014.
From the frozen tundra in the beer capital of the universe, it's the Weekly Dose of Fat Radio Hour with your hosts, Sven and Gomez.
Welcome to the special anniversary edition of Las Bicis Gordas Radio.
How do you do to y'all? Join us on the studio today as the bewhiskered JK Livin.
Once again, we're proud to announce our studio band, Chris Daisy and the Zion Cyclery, Mariachis del Punk Rock.
This show is sponsored by Surly Bikes. Surly makes sense in a world of chaos. That's why they might seem crazy.
Crazy.
People get a bike from Surly and they ride however they want.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, you have to learn more at surlybikes.com.
So this week we hit 15,000
motherfucking
likes
on the Facebook.
So thanks to all the Malaysian click farmers out there on the Delta for choosing fat
motherfucking
radio.com.
So what's on the docket for today's show there, Playboy?
On this week's show, we visit with our old friend, the Coast Kid, Bruce Matheson. We celebrate the 3-year anniversary of the Weekly Dose of Fat Radio.
Oh, love it.
Champagne and cake.
And legs so fat they want to make you slap your mama.
So, we have a new beer sommelier for the radio program.
Don't French it up there, Frenchie.
Well, what do you want to call him?
What is a sommelier?
That's a wine steward, but a beer steward,
beer intern.
he's far more than an intern. This is a man that has 2 master's degrees in earth science and botany.
Excellent. Well, you know, with Colin out in Denver living in a cardboard box, we do need to up the beer IQ of the show.
Beer IQ, did that stump you?
It did. Yep.
Sorry. Shouldn't be so mean this early in the morning. But I just am. So it's with all appropriate pomp and circumstance and the correct pedigree and degrees from Purdue University.
Mr.
Wide receiver.
Mr. Julio.com.
Julio is our man with a finger on the pulse of what's hot on the interwebs. Twitter, MTBR, Cosmo.
All those places.
Pinterest.
Visit.
Pinterest. He's got it covered, yo.
Yeah, well, he's good at taking care of checking out what's going on like a blanket of snow.
But he doesn't start until November.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, we can reintroduce him then.
Yeah. Well, nothing says anniversary than more than champagne.
Champagne. All right, I'm untwisting this little wire doohickey. Everybody, this put your eye protection on.
Point it at Mike. Oh, hey. And there it is.
And whoop, there it is.
So where is this delightful?
This is some sort of, it's got a pretty green label. I normally buy Tattinger's, which is a real French champagne, which is about, round numbers, $30 for a bottle. This here has got it's got a G on it for Gomez. It is goodness.
It is made in the method of champagne.
Yes. So,
a sparkling wine.
3 years of the Weekly Dose of Fat.
Cheers. Cheers.
Blam.
Oh, that's sparkly.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
So Julio's going to come on. He's going to talk probably more, a little bit more than beer, because that dude. You know, he's a stay-at-home dad.
Right, yep.
So he spends a lot of time on a lot of the boards and rakes through much of the, what could we call it?
Chatter.
He's going to bring the cream of that to our show.
He can, you know, go through, I think he's on there enough that he knows what's kind of real and what's just bull crappery.
Yeah.
People just trolling and being mean, and Julio can handle that. He's got a good disposition. I would just start a flame war immediately, so that's why I'm not on MTBR.
So this champagne, just so you know what we're drinking, it is Gruet Blanc de Blanc, extra dry.
Is that white de white?
And, you know...
See, my French is as good as my Spanish.
You know what goes really good with champagne, boys?
Oh. Oh, no.
We'll be right back with our incredibly special guest, Mr. Bruce Matheson, right after this message from Chumba USA.
Chumba USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Chumba's American-made Ursa and coming soon, Ursa Major, at ChumbaUSA.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Please welcome to the show, all the way from Scotland, the father of fat bike beach rides, Bruce the Coast Kid Matheson.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. How are you doing?
Doing good, Bruce. Good to have you on the show.
Probably didn't want to butcher your last name, just in case. How do you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, you got it right. It's Matheson. Right. It's I-E-S-O-N. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Super. Cool.
That's probably the only thing we're going to get right on the show. So, just warning you. So, Bruce, you've been riding fat for as long or longer than anyone else out there in the SEO blogosphere. Can you tell us what you think maybe are the most useful innovations in fat biking since the original Purple Pug came out?
Right, okay. Well, my pug is actually 6 years old at the end of this month. It was Halloween. I picked my bike up, which is quite cool. And in that time, there's been, you know, the last sort of 2 to 3 years, there's been some massive changes. I think the big thing, which has been, you know, the big thing has been the tires and the rims and getting the wheel rotation weight down. Obviously, the Surly pretty much sort of led that in the early days. And the machined out rims, the lighter rims, the folding tires, that's made a big difference. The Nates, you know, the Surly Nates was the big turnaround for us here in the UK, because suddenly we had a tire which can just ride anywhere.
Yeah.
And then soft, greasy, wet, you know.
Sure.
And then in the last year or two, the inline frames, the wider hubs. You know, the wider inline frames, I think that's quite cool. And then the 29-plus wheels. I mean, that for me, that's a big thing. Hopefully we'll see more fat bike frames, which you can take 4 to 5-inch tires as well as 29-plus, and then you can buy two bikes in one.
Yeah, for sure. Have you...
I think that's the way forward, you know, it's maybe... if more companies can go that way, so you can, they can't all afford everything they want, but you can afford like one bike plus another set of wheels, which gives you two bikes in one. I think that's a cool thing.
So where do you stand on like carbon fiber? If you could find a bike that would be just a jack of all trades, would you consider a carbon fiber bike?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a lot of sort of negativity about carbon fiber from a lot of people. But you know, carbon fiber is used in Formula One, it's used in car rallying. Two of the sort of biggest impact events you can imagine, you know,
sure.
Sports you can imagine. Like my mate, he's got a carbon bear grease. I've ridden that. It's 23 pounds and it's still got alloy rims on it. So the carbon rim is going to be probably sub 20 pounds. And if you go out and ride in 40, 50, 60 miles in a day, then the lightest bike you can get is going to make a big difference. I mean, here in the UK for carbon, I mean, I'd probably always stay with steel bikes and alloy rims for the coast, because throwing them on rocks, crashing on rocks and stuff,
right?
You know, yep. Steel seems to, I mean, you just scratch them where an alloy frame and a carbon frame will, you know, possibly be damaged. But
yeah, I don't want to
ride a fat bike in cross-country races, then it'd probably be a carbon bike, you know, the ultimate lightness that I could get.
I think Bruce advocates having more than one fat bike.
Yeah. Well, you have quite a stable of bikes over there.
That's the problem.
Yeah, true. Exactly.
So tell us about your fourth fat gathering that you guys do.
Yeah, that just came about from like having our normal Saturday out and thinking, you know, why don't we just make this for anyone in the UK who wants to turn up? And so I just like put a Facebook page up, wrote a post on it from a blog. I got an email from Tyler from Surly saying, we're going to come across in the USA and check out your scene, which actually blew me away at the time. We had the first meet, and we had 42 guys turn up on bikes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Tyler and Eric came, which was a total scream, I have to admit. And they were blown away with what we were all up to. And I think the UK scene was quite a surprise to them, and just how, you know, I think it's a bit different to the rest of the... I mean, Japan's got a big fat bike scene, definitely, but the UK guys, most of them have been taking fat bikes and just riding them as normal mountain bikes. And they've been selling their mountain bikes since they've got a fat bike. And the UK seems quite interesting because you've got cross-country riding natural, you know, out in the country. You've got trail centres, and then, obviously, I've got a kind of kick-started the beach riding thing.
And did fat bikes open up the public walking trails that weren't necessarily very much fun to ride with mountain bike, but you can go out and travel on a lot of new terrain? I see a lot of your pictures are in a rural and farming area, very similar to where we are in Wisconsin. I just know that when I had a mountain bike, I just didn't go out and ride these
goat paths
that I go and ride all the time now.
Yeah, well, I used to ride Soul Suspension, Santa Cruz's and Oranges and stuff like that. And you drive 60 miles to go to a trail center and ride the bike, and then you put the bike back on the car and drive back home, and then you have to wash the bike and everything, and your 8-hour Saturday becomes 3 hours of cycling with traveling to and from and washing a bike. Well, with a fat bike, you can go out and you can ride, like you say, just around your local farmland, and you can ride trails which are a bit of a slog on a normal bike. You know, they're soft, they're wet, and they're boggy, but on a fat bike, you know, you just zoom across the stuff, and you combine that with maybe some coastal trails and some sandy single track, or in other parts of the country where guys live, they ride up in the hills where they've got a lot of loose rocks and shale and flint, which is just, you know, just basically very sort of slippy condition, loose rocks. And the fat bikes, you know, I mean, as you guys know, the grip of them is just phenomenal.
Amazing.
They've opened up a whole new sort of riding area in everybody's own back garden, wherever they stay.
So we kind of got off subject. We were talking about your fourth fat meetup. Can you tell us what the dates are going to be for this year and what the area of Scotland and the kind of riding that you guys will be doing?
Yeah, I've just sort of basically kept it to the same regime each year now because it just works. Next year's fourth fat is going to be on the 9th and 10th of May. I'm having it a month later because a few folk moaned about how cold it was in April, Captain. And East Lothian is just a really small county. To put it into perspective, we live 30 miles east of the centre of Edinburgh, Scotland's capital city.
Wow.
It's quite a small city. It's like 500,000 people compared to Glasgow, which is a lot bigger. But we're only 30 miles from Edinburgh's city centre, and yet we've got this coastline which is in the whole deserted, and we've got up to 44-45 miles of coastline, which varies from, you know, wide open flat sands to rocks which are exposed at low tide, very technical riding, to lovely flowy sandy single track through pine woods. Everybody thinks beach riding is all
riding
flat open sand, you know, at low tide. And most of the photos of it is that, because that's the only time you can take your camera out and just take a photo of folk. And the rest of the time, your hands are on the bars, you're riding, and you can make it as hard or easy as you want. And that's the beauty of fourth fat, and that's how the weekend seems to have worked so well, is each day, the Saturday and the Sunday, we ride a set distance, and you can ride down on the low tide, on the flat sand if you want, or you can ride on the rocks, or you can ride up above the tide lines and the sand and the single track.
Awesome.
And if you're maybe, you know, you're not that fit and you're struggling a bit, you can shortcut, you can go and land and re-meet up with the group. So there's no set rule, you know. We just arrive at a certain place at a certain time, and you ride from A to B, and everybody meets at B, and you just get there how you want. The weekend just sort of evolves itself and just runs itself. You know, people go and get what they want to eat, where they want, and they all just sort of, a couple of like, we'll meet it here, and then we'll meet here at the pub, and then we'll meet there, and it just works.
Oh, very cool, man. You know what Sven is doing right now? Sven is on his smartphone trying to find airline flight rates to fly to Scotland next May.
What was that, May 9th and 10th?
You guys have to come over. I mean, it's so much fun. I mean, Tyler's coming over for his third time next year, and he's going to bring Trevor again for Surly.
Good birthday present for my son. Get rid of me.
Trucks over, and that was the first time anyone, no one actually knew they were coming. So, of course, I went there and met them, and they got ice cream trucks out, and I was like, get that thing built, I'm having a shot.
Awesome.
I stuck it on Facebook, it was like a sort of internet meltdown as such.
Yeah, we had Tyler on the show last week.
He's been all around the world, and he absolutely loves it here. He loves it.
Super.
Well, all right. We really appreciate you coming on the show, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great coming on, and you guys want to come over here and ride sometime, you're more than welcome.
I think we just put in the next year's budget to fly to Scotland at the beginning of May and join you guys over there.
Yeah, we'll see what travel times are better or worse over there. That'd be interesting to know. But this is definitely on the agenda.
Sven is maybe, but I'm definitely coming over.
You definitely have to come. I mean, the one thing we can teach you is we'll teach you how to drink whiskey properly. That's for sure.
Oh, man. All right.
I'm back in again.
Scottish whiskey.
Sven's back in.
Yep.
All right, man. We really appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Fat Radio. Radio.
Hi, this is Tim with Reed Cycles. When I'm not building fat bikes, I'm listening to Spin and Gomez on Fat Bike Radio and drinking Oscar Blues beer.
This is your weekly dose of fat.
Welcome back to the radio program. One of our Bike Black Ribbon test pilots, Angry Andy, herniated his disc in his lumbar region. Everybody knows where that is, right? So we're sending out some healing vibrations to you, Andy.
How'd he do that injury?
Not how you're thinking. You know, lower back, I always think Humpty Dump, but skateboarding with his son.
I can well understand that, having injured my lumbar region skateboarding many a time.
So get well, Andy.
Get well, Andy.
All
get
right.
Well, get well, Andy.
You're going to get one. All right, I need to turn the tables just for a second here. You guys have been covering the fat bike scene for three plus years, and riding, I know, longer than that. And I just want to figure out from you guys, what do you think the best things are since the Purple Pug?
You want to go first?
I was going to say tires right off the bat.
Yeah, tires.
Tires.
You know, and that's more tires. That's going to be your best bang for your buck. You want to change the way your entry-level or mid-level bike rides is, put a quality set of sneakers on there.
Yeah, and you can tailor it to the type of terrain you're riding as well. So if you want to make a choice to do a certain kind of riding, more than not, choose a tire that goes along with that kind of riding.
And in that genre, I think that one of the big things was there's a company called Surly that came out with a bike, the Moonlander, that pushed fat bikes from a 65-millimeter, 80-millimeter rim to a 100-millimeter rim.
Yep.
Led to the
big 5-inch tire.
Right. 5-inch tires, and led to the 190 QR or 197 through axle. And I think the 197 through axle is the foundation of where that's the bike that I ride right now. And I love the fact that I can run the biggest stuff and it doesn't click my heels. It's a I think that the 5-inch bike would be my number one thing.
Yep, definitely a good one. You know, there's bikes from companies like Salsa, the Bear Grease, both the aluminum and carbon versions a couple of years ago. This year, the Bucksaw. Those are all game changers, too. They really kind of up the ante. And again, are tailoring fat bikes more towards a specific kind of riding rather than just trying to be a one-size-fits-all kind of a machine.
And pushing the envelope, being innovative. You know, that Bucksaw bike takes fat bikes into a whole nother subgenre and opens up the circle of terrain that we can ride even larger.
Yeah, for sure. And Salsa, you know, if they didn't probably be number one behind pushing the development of the Bluto, I don't think we'd have standard fat bike fork now.
Yeah, Q is a force to be reckoned with in the fat bike market. Right after the Purple Pug, the birth of Alaskan bikes, and the whole development that terrain and climate put on the Alaskan Fatback 907, and then kind of an honorable mention in the Alaskan bikes would be Borealis. Adam from Borealis Bikes was born and raised right between Fatback and 907. It's almost like he's like the baby boy.
Baby boy.
And, you know, that's a Colorado company, but I think they get the honorable mention because they are the ones that are marketing their bikes as a year-round 22-pound mountain bike that it's not a fat bike. It's the all-arounder, and that's an amazing thing. I mean, I think the number of people that have actually ridden a 22-pound fat bike is relatively small compared to how many people have ridden fat bikes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a cathartic moment where you ride this bike that has all the attributes of a fat bike, but it's as light or lighter than your 29er or your 29 plus or your dually. It's like, it's a whole new animal.
Whole new animal. And, you know, the other thing I think we mentioned tires at the beginning, got to mention rims as being something that really, again, changed from being, you know, more of a snow bike or soft condition bike like a sand bike to something that, depending on the width you choose, can be more at home on certain kinds of terrain.
Right. True. Yeah.
How about my idea about the variable width fat bike rim?
Variable width fat bike rim.
Come up with a variable width fat bike rim.
We just need to be able to control matter with nanites or something.
It won't work on that, guys. I think that's a nanotech thing.
Yeah. The sentient rim material.
It could just get more disc-shaped as it gets narrower.
Oh.
Kind of squishes everything in. And the spokes shorten. Yeah. Oh, no. It gets bigger. Damn. I don't know.
We're going all science fiction on you now.
Yep. That's the next big frontier in fat biking is sci-fi.
Speaking of science fiction, hey, we got some hot links off the interwebs.
That's science fiction, even how the internet works.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's race your fat bike in a salt mine.
65,000 leagues under somewhere.
Fat biking 101, going to salt mine.
Yeah.
There's a link to that in the show notes.
My buddy David Gabrice turned me on to this link from Norway. Packraft and fat biking. I think the title of this story was Barely Legal Fat Biking and Packrafting.
In Norway?
What's barely legal in Norway there? I don't know. That got me aroused.
Have you guys watched Hell on Wheels at all yet?
No.
AMC thing?
No.
Oh, well, there's a Swedish-Norwegian dude in there that would be barely legal.
Yeah, I have. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. The railroad show.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. I don't know. AMC folks, I don't know what night it's on, but it's on AMC. Send me my check, AMC.
There's a couple of links here from Single Tracks that I guess Single Tracks decided that fat bikes were cool. And they're telling you what their top five are. We're like top five mid-price bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And the top five reasons you should buy a fat bike.
Because everybody needs another bike. That's why.
Well, yeah. I mean, they hit the five reasons. But, I mean, really? The top five fat bikes. Have you ridden all those bikes? Have you talked to the manufacturers? Have you spent quality time on them? Or did you just see pictures on the internet? Come on, man.
Internet research 101.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Well, you're gonna revamp the Fat Bike 101s.
Yeah, I think so.
Teach everybody a lesson.
Well, you know, it's been a year and a half or so since we did those, and some things have changed for sure, and some things have matured that we talked about back then.
Hold on. We're gonna have we usually have beer breaks, but champagne break.
Oh yeah,
champagne break.
We gotta refill
the
There's
vessels.
Just nothing better than champagne. I have bubbles in my brain now.
bubbles.
Damn it, bubbles.
Too much Michael Jackson in the world.
Michael Jackson or Trailer Park Boys. Yeah. It goes both directions.
Oh, I gotta get these shopping carts to this parking lot. These shopping carts aren't just gonna drive themselves to the trailer park.
Ricky.
Yeah.
All right.
We're gonna get a letter from them too, saying cease and desist.
They're on SwearNet, so their cease and desist would be like, boop. It would have a lot of swearing in it. Is my point.
SwearEngineNet. Remember SwearEngine from Deadwood?
Yeah.
That show.
Well, cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Champagne to the brain.
Champagne this week.
Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast.
The weekly dose of fat contains content that might not be safe for the office.
Or maybe for your church choir group.
Or children, even.
When you're in choir practice, wear your headphones and try and keep it to a level 2 snicker.
Well, that's what we have for you this week. See you next week when Scott Chambers from the Great Lakes Fat Bike Race Series visits the program.
Adios, amigos.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.